From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
They get up in the morning and they sing in Gregorian chant, and it's beautiful. The rest of the day, they don't talk. It's like the only time they use their voice is in worship to God. My problem was there was no talking, but not only that, there was no internet, no cell phone coverage, and no good coffee. Now, for Portuguese, no talking is bad enough. First day was okay. Second day, by the fifth day, I was shaking.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
Pastor Wayne is going to teach us an acronym, T-H-I-N-K, THINK. If we will follow that little acronym, it'll keep us out of a lot of trouble. In a moment, the conclusion of the message, Impetuous Words. But first, we invite you to join us for a few minutes of worship from New Hope. Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Impetuous Words.
So, the first is, what am I filling my mind with? Have I filled my mind with good things this week? Have I been doing my devotions? If no, don't say anything. Or, will I be able to have the humility and courage to repent if I'm proven wrong? If it's yes, great. If no, don't say anything. And third, would you write down, and can I carve out time before I react? Can I think before I speak? See, most of us speak before we think, yeah. We speak first. It's kind of like ready, fire, aim. But can I take time to think? That's why James 4:17 says this. Let's read it. Go. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is, yeah, I know what the right thing is. I need to hang tight on this. And you think, you say, well, think like how? I just put that little acrostic there And the word think, would you write in the T stands for, is it the, here's the questions, is it the truth? Now, not is it true, is it the, now I want you to know that there's a big difference between what is true and what is the truth. The scripture says in the book of John, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Not just what is true. You don't need the Holy Spirit to help you find out what's true, because it could be true that person is kind of, you know, is immature. That it's true you're pretty dumb. It's true that you made mistakes. No, you can see that. But you need the Spirit to guide you into all truth. What's the truth and why is it different? Because the Bible says this, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. Psalm 119 verse 16 says, 160 says this, it says, thy word is truth and the sum thereof. So what is truth? What's happening? No, what God is saying about what's happening. Let me say that again. The truth is not what's happening. The truth is what God is saying about what's happening. For example, you can say, I'll tell you what, you want to know what I think? This is true. You want to know what I think? Here it is. This is true, that you're a bumhead. You're an idiot. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to lead, you say to your boss, and you're dumb. Well, it's true. The Lord said, no, there's a big difference, because that's not what I would say. What is true and what is the truth? Two different things. And when you think, the first is it the truth? Which means, even though it may be true, does it need to be said? I just showed you something. Now, do you use it as ammunition to demean that person? Be real careful. I've told you the story before of Aaron when he was a little kid. He used to play coach pitch, which means the coach pitches to his own kids. And we had such a bad coach that year. He would pitch to our own kids. And Aaron's only like 7 years old, 6 years old. And he's pitching to our own kids and he's beaning our kids. Parents got, come on, that's our own coach. And so he's beating it, or it's bouncing off the ground, and the kids are trying to hit it like bowling for dollars, you know. And oh, we were just getting killed, like 30-0. So one time we were up coming to the game, and so Anna and I went there and to watch. And he said, hey, could one of you parents keep score? And it's a certain regimen to keep baseball score, you know. So I said, oh, yeah, I know how to do it. He says, could you do that? And I said, oh, all right. So I walked up in, it's kind of like this little crow's nest above the home plate, and I'm keeping score and writing down errors and things, and I'm watching him being our kids and putting people in the wrong places, and I'm writing these things down. I'm thinking, oh man, this guy is so bad, you know. Bang, another one hits the dust, and oh, another kid he hit, and another one hits the dust, and I think, oh, we're just dying. We're just losing in a terrible fashion. And at about halfway through, I thought, you know what? It's good. I'm up here. I can see everything. So I have enough proof so I can go to the commissioner and get this coach ejected. We got to impeach this guy. So I kept all of these side notes and I thought, good. And I remember when the game was done, we were just crashed again. I was 30 again to zip. And I was walking down this spiral staircase. And I remember the Lord just stopping me. And he said, you won't use any of those things. I thought, why not? I got plenty here. I was in the right spot. I could see everything perfectly. And I just remember in nanoseconds, the Lord just said, you're not going to use any of that. I thought, why? And then now all of this is happening just this fast. You got to remember this. When God speaks to you, he doesn't need 25, 35 minutes. In one nanosecond, he can reveal to you a ream of stuff. And in one second, you're mad. And the next second, oh, wow. You know, it's just that fast. Well, I came to this, oh, wow, realization when the Lord spoke to me and said this, Wayne, there's going to be times that I'm going to show you the error of other people. I'm going to show you their flaws. But if every time I show you somebody's flaws and you use it as ammunition against them just because it's true, then I will never show you the hurts of people because I cannot trust you with them. And I thought, oh, wow. You see, what God was saying is if I use people's hurts and problems and struggles and I use it to destroy them further, then God's going to blind me to the needs of people. But he said, if I show you their needs, then I want you to minister to them and restore them. And if you will and steward them well, then I will show you more. But you must steward it. Because what's true and what's the truth are two completely different things. So think before you speak, because the first is it the truth? Not is it true? And we can tell people it's true. You're an idiot. You're no good. You're a bum. And the Lord says, no. I want you to speak the truth. Because sometimes you say, you want to know how I feel? You want to know how I feel? I'll tell you how I feel. No, it's how your flesh feels. It's how your base nature feels. What we should be saying is, you want to know what the truth is? Remember what God would say? You know what the truth is? No, not how I feel. The truth, instead of saying, you're a bum, you're no good, you would say, you want to know the truth? You're loved by God. You're embraced by Him, and He wants you to live forever in His mansion. Not is it true, is it the truth? And then you'll begin to see good days, and you'll love life. So the first T, think before you speak. The first T, is it the truth? H, is it helpful? Is it helpful? Is it helping anybody? Sure, there's going to be times you're going to need to confront somebody. But is it in a helpful way? Or is it just a judgment way? There's going to be times you're going to have to confront things. Don't get me wrong, like we're just some person that's just passive. No, you're going to have to confront things, but think. Can I do this in a way that it will be helpful? Is it helpful? And then I write down, is it immediate? Which means, does it need to be told now? Do we need to just, okay, that's it, you're out of here? No. Is it immediate? Now, some things may be, but some, because you're going to have to deal with some things right away. But other things, like, let God have some time to deal with that person. It's okay. We don't need to sentence him to death tonight. Just let God have his way, and that person might repent. That's what the scripture says. God is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward all, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. God is not slow, but he is patient, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So there's times God says, would you just be patient? Because this person is almost to repentance. So is it immediate? And then N, is it necessary? Is it necessary? Do we need to talk about that now? And then K, is it kind? Is it kind? Is it kind? Three questions to ask. Have I been filling my mind with God's truth and his words? If your answer is no, don't speak. Second question, do I have the courage and the humility to ask for forgiveness and repent if I'm wrong? If the answer is no, don't talk. And the third question, have I thought this through? Did I think? Is it the truth? Is it helpful? Is it immediate? Is it necessary? Is it kind? If you didn't take the time to think through that, don't talk. And for some of you, if you're answering all of these honestly, the next 7 days, you will be a very quiet person. I remember in closing, when I was kind of going through some struggles emotionally about 3 years ago, just burning out, frying. In fact, that's what the book is all about that I just finished called Leading on Empty. I knew that I needed just to quiet every voice except God's. Because I was just very confused, and I remember a friend telling me that he had gone to a monastery that it was really nice, a Catholic monastery where the monks don't talk. It's one of these quiet places. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. Nobody talks. Maybe they asked these three questions and their answers were no, so nobody talked. Well, I check in. It's way, way out in the hills of California, way out in the Sierra Madres, way, way out there. And these monks are there and nobody talks. To assign me to my cabin, they left a note. So I have to read it. And you walk out there. Now, the only time they use their voice is at 5 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock at night. They get up in the morning and they sing in Gregorian chant, and it's beautiful. They sing the psalms in the chapel. And then at night, they come and sing it again. It's just really beautiful. And the rest of the day, they don't talk. It's like the only time they use their voice is in worship to God. And the rest of the day, nothing. My problem was there was no talking, but not only that, there was no internet, no cell phone coverage, and no good coffee. Now, for Portuguese, no talking is bad enough. You add the rest. It was just short of going to hell. And so I was struggling. The first day was okay. Second day, third day. By the fifth day, I was shaking. I had to talk to somebody. And I remember 5 o'clock in the morning, I was singing with all of the monks. I didn't know what they were singing. It was all in Latin. But I was just singing away because I had to use my voice. And then they all filed out. They say something. So I thought, I got to get out of here. So I remember getting to my car. And you're not supposed to leave. You know, once you check in for this retreat, you stay there. But I couldn't handle it. I got in my car and my lights are off and I'm driving out at 5:30 in the morning going out. And I finally get out so they can't see me, and I turn on my lights, and then I put my cell phone up and it says no service. So I'm driving and driving, looking around for cell service, you know. Well, I go, listen to this, no exaggeration, an hour and 15 minutes before it goes bing. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm in the land of the living. And so I finally get in this little teeny town. I pull in and lo and behold, there's an internet cafe. I can catch up on my email. So I go into this internet cafe, coffee. I'm drinking coffee and I'm typing on, and anybody that comes in, hello, how are you? Hi, I'm Wayne. And so where do you live? How are you doing? What are you doing today? You know, you're just starving for conversation. And I remember I went out because it had cell phone coverage. And I go out in the yard or right out in the parking lot. And I remember calling Pastor Ellen. He says, Wayne, what are you whispering for? Shh. I said, I escaped. He said, what? Did you get out of that monastery? He got, shh. Yeah, I escaped. He said, was it hard getting out? I said, no, but getting back in will be. I remember driving in there late that afternoon thinking, oh no, they're going to catch me. And you know, they're going to look at me like, And I remember driving in. I went into my cabin and went to sleep. And then when I got back here, Pastor Elwin said, did they say anything? I said, no, I don't know if they're mad. How do you know? I said, they haven't said anything since. And, you know, I was thinking back on that and I thought, you know, there may be some days I should just fast talking. Just be still. And if I can't, at least ask myself the right questions. Have I been filling my mind with good things? Because the mouth speaks out of that which has filled the heart. And if you haven't filled with anything, that's why we just blow hot air. The second is, would I have the courage and the humility to ask for forgiveness if I misspoke? You should be able to say yeah. And the third is, did I have time to think before I speak? And if you will ask yourself those three questions, it will help us to refrain our tongues from evil so that you will love life and you will be filled with good days. I think we'd all like that very much, wouldn't we? Amen. Let's do that. Let's stand together. I want to conclude by praying for us, but also praying for our country in these defining days. And so as we conclude, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, thank you so much for such a great church where we're still learning, I am, about how to refrain our tongues from evil so that we will love life and our lives will be filled with good days. So, Lord, I pray that you will help us to remind us to ask ourselves questions. Have I been filling my mind with good things? If not, Lord, help me to do that this week. Give me the courage and the humility to ask for forgiveness if I misspeak. And teach me to think before I speak. Is it the truth? Not just true. Is it helpful? Does it need to be said immediately? Is it necessary? Is it kind? And then I speak after I run it through that grid. Because, Lord, I think all of us would love to have a life filled with good days. And in the evenings, we can turn around and say, I love life. So thank you, Lord, for helping us with such practical things today. Lord, we pause now and we pray also for our country. Lord, we just ask that you would give wisdom to our leaders and our President Obama. Lord, I pray that even with the phrases like the United States, our country is not a Christian country. Lord, there are many, many, the majority of people here love you. We may not be walking accurately, but Lord, we know that you're real and we love you. And we pray and we sing, God bless America. Our Declaration of Independence talks about our Creator has endowed us with unalienable rights. It even attests to the fact that we have a Creator. And it's in our founding documents, Lord, we are a Christian country. Forgive us for not living so. But Lord, I pray that you will help us as a country to return to you, to stand for the things of righteousness. And we ask with boldness, yet with humility, God, would you bless America? And now, Lord, may this week be a great one as we walk with you and see this church filled with good days and a lovely life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you thank him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords?
Christ alone, I place my trust. I find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength. Alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. Christ alone, I place my trust.
Have a great evening. Give somebody a hug on your way out.
Hi, this is Pastor Wayne Cordero, and on behalf of the students and faculty of New Hope Christian College, I want to personally invite you to join us for Christmas on the Hill. That's right, it's happening Friday, November 30th at 7 p.m. in our chapel right here on the campus in Eugene, just above Churchill High School. The program will feature old and new holiday favorites presented by our fabulous creative arts students and staff. Now, seating is limited, and admission is only a suggested $5 donation. So come, join us for Christmas on the Hill, a new holiday tradition at New Hope Christian College. For more information, you can go to newhope.edu. Come and enjoy Christmas on the Hill.